Well, I have to say how frankly amazed I am that so many folks would show up for a topic like droning on. So don't say I didn't warn you. Before we get into our topic, I wanted to share a joy. This congregation is very close to my heart, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. And I wanted to let you know that I was promoted last month to captain in the United States Army Reserve. So those of you who know a little bit about my story know this is something of a small miracle because I was sent home from Afghanistan with a general officer memorandum of a reprimand and a do not promote officer evaluation report, mainly for speaking out about drones. So the fact that I was promoted to captain is by, I would say, the grace of God and a congressional inquiry, which helped. The other piece of joy that I wanted to share is that the translator I worked with closely in Afghanistan, Tariq, contacted me just about a week ago, and he and his family were awarded visas. So they are coming to the United States. I know this congregation, through Sam Trumbore's advocacy, was involved in securing visas and raising social awareness to the plight of many of our interpreters and the challenges they've had to receive the visas that our Congress promised them. So it's really a joy that I wanted to share with all of you. And if you have space in your home for an Afghan family, see me after the service. They'd like to settle in New York. So. Well, the image on the cover of the program stirs in me a whole range of moral emotions. And I want to spend a few minutes just unpacking that, because it sheds some light into the complexity of the topic. So when I say moral emotions, I'm talking about, on the one hand, feelings of guilt and disgust, but also more positive moral emotions like pride and gratitude. And I need to acknowledge the existence of both in response to this image of predator drones. Well, the guilt and disgust, that's easy to place. I think back to my first month in Afghanistan when I came across a report in which an Air Force officer was acknowledging the efficacy of our drone strikes. And that report said in not so many words how these drones were so helpful in eliminating time-sensitive targets like IED emplacers. Now, IED means improvised explosive device. And that stirred in me a deep feeling of disgust. It went against everything I learned at the chaplain school and readings of Michael Walzer's book, Just and Unjust Wars. It seemed to me that dropping a 500-pound bomb from an unmanned aerial vehicle on a person who's digging a hole in a road halfway around the world was not an act of necessity or even proportionate. There didn't appear to be any imminent threat to the life and safety of Americans. I mean, we knew where the bomb was. We were surveying it. So reports like that generated in me deep sense of disgust and even moral outrage, an appropriate sense of guilt. But I need to also acknowledge the other dimension of moral emotions that this image of drones stirs in me, and that is a sense of pride and gratitude. And let me say a word about that. I don't know about you, but when I learned that the United States sent a team of 80 Air Force personnel to Africa, mainly to operate drones, to assist in the recovery of the missing schoolgirls who were abducted, over 200 of them abducted by Boko Haram, I felt a sense of pride that we were, as a nation, doing something to assist in the recovery of those girls. And in fact, the Predator drone has a remarkable capacity for surveillance in a part of Africa where there was lots of jungle, and I had to acknowledge in myself a sense of pride that here we are using this technology for a purpose that, under the circumstances, seems to be good. And I need to acknowledge the gratitude I feel knowing that these drones are helping to monitor nuclear stockpiles in potentially volatile nations like Pakistan, where nuclear weapons that move into the wrong hands, if there are ever right hands, I don't know if there are, could result in a global security crisis. So I can imagine a world where we employ drones throughout the world to monitor nuclear stockpiles until the age comes, which I hope it comes soon, where there are no more nuclear stockpiles to be monitored. So I have to acknowledge a sense of gratitude that in what has been called the most dangerous country on earth, Pakistan, we do have surveillance of the nuclear stockpiles, doing whatever we can to curtail the widespread proliferation of nuclear weapons that has already taken place from Pakistan. So this is a complex, there's a complexity to the topic that I just want to acknowledge. One of the hallmarks of our liberal religious tradition is an intentional engagement with modern culture. And one of the distinctive features of our modern American culture over the past decade has been the emergence of these things we call drones, or unmanned aerial vehicles. We gather this morning here in central New York at a time when drones, drone operators, drone manufacturers are arriving in our backyard, or at least in our neighborhood, in increasing numbers. Syracuse, New York, has been a major drone hub for the past 5 years. The New York Air National Guard's 174th Attack Fighter Wing trains Reaper drone pilots and sensor operators for the entire U.S. Air Force. Along with providing this Reaper drone, or so-called MQ-9 training, the Fighter Wing in Syracuse conducts Reaper drone operations over Afghanistan on a daily basis, or at least that was the case several months ago, from a command facility right here in central New York. Now, let me just give you what the military tells us about the Reaper drones, so we just have a sense of what this thing is that costs about $5 million to build. So the Department of Defense explains it this way. The MQ-9 Reaper is an armed, multi-mission, medium-altitude, long-endurance, stay with me here, remotely piloted aircraft that is employed primarily in a hunter-killer role against dynamic execution targets. Dynamic execution targets. Remember that IED emplacer in the road? and secondarily as an intelligence collection asset. Now, these are still the Army Department of Defense here. Given its significant loiter time, wide-range sensors, multi-mode communications suite, and precision weapons, it provides a unique capability to autonomously execute the kill chain. Parentheses. Find, fix, track, target, execute, and assess, unparentheses, against high-value, fleeting, and time-sensitive targets. That's what we're talking about here in our backyard. This is not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. So we have that going on. Meanwhile, Lockheed Martin, the nation's largest defense contractor, continues to be the largest for-profit employer in Onondaga County, 1,700 employees. So that's going on. And what is going on is in December, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, announced that Griffith Air Base, right here in central New York, was selected as one of six national test sites for drone research and training missions. This is for drones that are going to be operating in our own airspace by civilians. Allow me to drone on a bit more. In April, the drone mission expanded beyond Syracuse to Niagara Falls, where armed Reaper drones will save the 107th Air Wing in Niagara Falls from the threat of closure. So it's being heralded by some as a boon to the economy in an age of military slashing. Many are celebrating the arrival of the drone mission in upstate New York for its jobs and for the money it brings. So as we gather this morning, we need to be mindful of the time we are in and allow ourselves the space for moral reflection on these changes in our community and what they ask of us. We also gather this morning in the wake of a tragic airstrike in Afghanistan, a strike which the Department of Defense tells us is under investigation. The New York Times, however, reported on Tuesday that this was a case of friendly fire, possible fratricide. In other words, a U.S. Army, or rather U.S. Air Force missile struck at least five. Department of Defense released the names yesterday. Killed were Staff Sergeant Scott R. Sidmund, age 24, of Pasadena, California. That was number one. Staff Sergeant Jason A. McDonald, age 28, of Butler, Georgia, was killed last week. Specialist Justin R. Helton, age 25, of Beaver, Ohio. Corporal Justin R. Klaus, age 22, of Sprague, Washington. And Private Second Class Aaron S. Topin, 19, of Mokena, Illinois, killed last week in an airstrike. So hold that with another announcement. News that we had an airstrike in Pakistan as well, and the CIA has resumed drone campaign after a nearly six-month hiatus. 14 people were killed in true drone strikes in Pakistan just a day after this friendly fire incident in Afghanistan. We don't know if this was a so-called personality strike or a signature strike. Signature strike means we actually have a name on the target. Personality strike means, well, we just know that they're in the wrong place at the wrong time and they fit within an age bracket of, say, 15 to 60, and they're men. That's a personality strike. We don't know whether this was a personality strike or a signature strike. And we might ask the same questions of attack in Yemen that occurred in April, one of the largest, where we hear reports of between 40 and 55 people being killed there. So as with drone strikes of the past decade, there is much that remains uncertain, much that remains in the dark, much that the American public will never know. The Department of Defense has not released the names of those killed in Pakistan or Yemen. It's not their standard practice, but what if they did? What if they did in a public release that included their names, their ages, and their hometowns, as we hear about in the case of the death of American soldiers? What if we were required by law? What if the American people, what if us, we who are gathered here, demanded greater accountability for our role in the deaths of others? What if the American people demanded restorative justice, reparations for the innocent victims of these strikes? Well, I believe all this is possible, and I'm here this morning to urge Unitarian Universalists to live into our commitment to free and responsible search for truth and meaning, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and respect for the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I'm here to call you, to call us, to something of a moral revolution. And I believe we are the ones who can help lead this charge. Michael Welzer, I mentioned him earlier, the author of a well-known book, Just and Unjust Wars, gave a talk at Georgetown University last year on the ethics of drone warfare. It's on YouTube. It's a great resource. He is more articulate than I in laying out the ethical questions and challenges of this new technology. But let me quote him here. He says this: why should we think of this drone warfare any different than a sniper's rifle? Surely targeted killing has been around as long as warfare itself has existed. He says this: the difference is that killing by drone is so much easier than other forms of killing. This easiness should make us uneasy. Walter says this is dangerously tempting technology. It makes our enemies more vulnerable than ever before, and we can get at them without any risk to our own soldiers. He goes on to say, this is the difficulty. The technology is so good, if that's the right word, I don't know if it is. The criteria for using it are likely to be steadily relaxed. And that's what seems to have happened with the U.S. Army or with the CIA in Pakistan and Yemen. This is what Walter says, and I agree with him. I'll wrap things up with a story of one name that we do know, Momina Bibi. She was hit, if the testimonies of the eyewitnesses are accepted as truth, she was hit by a drone strike a month after I arrived in Afghanistan. October 24th, 2012, Momina Bibi, a 67-year-old grandmother, was out in her field harvesting okra. Nabila, Zubair, Asma, her grandchildren, were there in the field with her. According to their eyewitness testimony, they heard a zung zung sound out of the sky and heard two clicks. Suddenly, an explosion. Their grandmother was thrown 20 feet away and killed instantly. The children were wounded. Zubair had shrapnel in her leg. Nabila, the 5-year-old, her hand was bleeding. And the grandmother, her wounds were so severe that neighbors wouldn't allow the children to see the body. About a year after the incident, these children came to the United States for a congressional hearing, the first of its kind, where victims of U.S. drone strikes gave their testimony, their story. Five congressmen showed up. The father of these children came as well, and like many fathers, he expressed his hope that his children have a peaceful life. He lamented that our children live in fear. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to play outside for fear of the drones that hover over their neighborhoods. So how many Omina Bibis will we allow our government to kill before we demand accountability? Who are these people we call militants? Why were they taken from their families, their friends, and communities? And what do we owe them? How can justice be restored? What these times ask of us, I believe, is a call to social education, to pay attention, to stay morally engaged, but also action. Cornel West recently gave a talk in Syracuse where there is a history of protesting drones that goes back as long as the history of the existence of drones in that community. His talk was called Connecting the Dots, Racism, Poverty, and Drones. I listened to it in preparing for this sermon. It's available on YouTube. I'd recommend you take the time to listen to that. I already mentioned Michael Walser's message, which is also available on YouTube. That's his talk at Georgetown. This is part of the social education that I think the times ask of us to be aware. In addition, I would need to mention the report from Stanford University, Living Under Drones. It was published in September 2012. It's available online. It came out the month I arrived in Afghanistan, and I read it. Living Under Drones, the report by the Stanford and NYU law clinics documents what they call death, trauma, and injury to civilians under U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan. So there's resources to educate ourselves. There's also opportunities for social action. I mentioned the Syracuse community. They have a name, the Upstate Drone Action Network, or the Coalition to Ground the Drones. There are people who are making noise about this. There may be some people gathered here this morning who have been part of it. Over Memorial Weekend, they were present at West Point with a protest that gained national attention. And then there is the opportunity to write letters, to engage our public officials. President Obama promised more transparency when he spoke to the nation about this last spring, but that transparency has yet to be forthcoming. In fact, in April, the director of the National Intelligence Agency, James Clapper, sent a letter that removed the provisions in the 2004 Intelligence Authorization Act, removed them, that would have asked for greater accountability with our drone strikes. The good news is that there is a bill that's been initiated, called the Targeted Lethal Force Transparency Act. And there's a letter, it's sitting on the back table. I've already signed it and sent it. This bill has 10 co-sponsors. None of them are from New York. But I think it is a crucial step towards ending the lack of accountability. If the bill passes, the White House will be required to disclose the number of people killed in U.S. drone strikes since 2008. The bill also requires the administration to provide definitions of combatant and civilian. I think it's a positive step towards moral accountability. So even though five members of Congress, only five, showed up to hear the testimony involving the death of Momina Bibi, her granddaughter Zubair Rahman returned to Pakistan last October filled with hope. She was quoted in as saying, "I hope I can return home with the message. I hope I can tell my community that Americans listened." Whether or not her hope will be fulfilled remains to be seen. Meanwhile, General Atomics, the defense contractor who manufactures the Reaper drone, is hiring in Syracuse.